He is risen.
Indeed.
He is risen indeed. Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's right. Well, Richard will remember this. 25 years ago, April of 1987, we opened the doors to this building. So we've had 25 Easters in this building, I think. Or 24. Oh, 24, Mel. 24. That's what are wives for, right? So 24. A lot of them. And I've loved every one of them. You've never had an Easter Sunday that didn't take me 2 days to recover. I like the balloons. I like the food in the parking lot. I like the songs. I like the joy. I like the people. There's just something about Resurrection Sunday. This is our belief. You know that, right? This is our belief that Jesus died on Good Friday and was buried. And God raised him from the dead in a miraculous miracle that he's alive. And he's alive now and able to change our lives. So it's my privilege again here this morning to take a few minutes and really tell a story of how we can know this Lord personally. It's been quite a run for most of us in the church of this 21-day fasting and prayer. And good thing it didn't go any longer. I'd be joining Marcel, maybe worse. I found that many, especially for the services here, there was almost 40 prayer meetings during that time. And so it was early morning. Brian and Marcel were often down there making the tea. And it was just a really good people time. But how many felt that there was great benefit for your personal life? Yeah, just great benefit. Just, you know, God spoke and God encouraged you. Well, I think many of those prayers will be answered in the days ahead. I just have a great sense about that. We're here today. I want to read from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. This is the last words of Jesus. The last recorded words of what he said about himself. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority there is. Whatever authority there is in heaven, whatever authority there is in earth, whatever authority there is in hell, Jesus has all the authority, proven by his resurrection. That's his last words. All authority is given unto me. And the reason why that's important is because if he was dead, he'd just be one of many others, hundreds of others down through the centuries. But he's unique. Is that there are no bones. There's no bones because they're still in his body. Someone even asked me, was he so poor that he had to rent a tomb? Well, the only reason why he rented a tomb is because he didn't buy one. He rented one. Nicodemus gave him his tomb. The reason why, he was only using it for the weekend anyway. Why buy it? Right? You're only going to use it for a couple days. So he's alive and he's loose. And because he's alive, he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, is that we can experience his power. Easter Sunday, if it means anything, it's all about change. It's all about change. God took the worst possible situation, the death of his son, and turned it around, used it for good, and changed the world, the whole world. Christ's resurrection has changed history. Every time you write a date, the focal point is Jesus Christ. Every time you write B.C. or A.D., this event splits history right down the middle, before Christ and after Christ. It's the most important event of all of history. And more than that, it's still changing individual lives like you and like me. It's still transforming people. Not by ones or twos, but by tens and thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming to Christ in saving faith, trusting him as their Savior. I think of Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. It just came to me that when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. I thank God for his death. Because in his death, he took away all of our sins, past, present, and future. But it says, through the death of his son, how much more shall we be saved through his life? If there were benefits for Jesus dying for us, i.e. to forgive us for whatever we've done, past, present, or future, then how much more that he's alive and he's risen. The power of the Lord that is available now. Easter is God's invitation to you and to me. What's the invitation? To have a fresh start. To have a fresh start. To start again. an extreme makeover, if you would, to be born again, newborn, to be changed, to be rearranged, to be renovated, to be completely altered. This isn't just some kind of a little religious thing. This is not about religion. This is about a relationship. And that relationship is very, very powerful. You see, changing the externals does not change us. Does it? I don't think so. You can change all the externals in your life, even your habits and maybe even reading the Bible or going to church or something. Those are externals, but it doesn't change us. God must change us from within, from inside out. All permanent change always starts from the inside. That's what Easter is all about. It's about change inside of you, change inside of me. The reason we're here this morning is because something has happened to us. Something remarkable has happened, that somehow Jesus came in and did a miraculous job within our hearts, and we haven't quite recovered from it. It's about changing the inside of you. You don't have to stay the same. We're not forever etched in what we are. But God can change you. And God can change your marriage. And God can change your life. So if you really want to have Jesus change you, I want to tell you three things that will probably have to happen. If you just want a little outward change, then continue on in your way you're living your life. But if you really, really, really want to be changed, then just listen to what I'm going to share here. The three things you need to do. Number one, you need to open your mind to Christ's power. To open your mind to Christ's power. You don't change by trying harder. It's not a matter of do more, be more, love more, care more, share more, visit more, love more, do more. It's not that at all. Not at all. It's not by trying harder. You change your life by changing the way you think. And by opening your mind to the possibility of Jesus. How many know that even God cannot change you until he changes your mind? It's something about changing our mind about the possibility of Jesus. The possibility that Jesus exists. And maybe for somebody here this morning, this is the first thing you say, I don't even know. 2,000 years ago, this guy hanging naked on a cross said all these kind of cool things, but he's dead, and now you claim he's alive. Boy, I'll tell you, it's a big step for somebody to say, listen, at one time, I thought it was all hogwash. I believed in God, but I didn't believe in Jesus. Well, when you open your mind to the possibility, just the possibility that Jesus exists, the opening your mind to the possibility that Jesus loves you, because that's the story, that's the theme. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves us. And when you open your mind that he loves me, does he love me? I've had people say, well, you know, Pastor Owen, I don't go to church. I don't know what God would. Jesus loves me. But imagine the possibility that he does. So opening your mind to the possibility that he might know everything in your life. Because I'm betting he does. I'm betting if you're in this building here this morning, Jesus knows all about you. He knows where you came from. He knows where you are. And he knows where you're going. He knows all of that. And he still cares about you. That's the marvel of this thing. The stunning, staggering love of Jesus. So open your mind to the possibility that Jesus has the power to change you. I don't have the power to change you. The church doesn't have the power to change you. But only Jesus has the power to change. Why? Because all authority has now been given unto him. There is no higher authority in the world. It all bows before him. And that possibility now, that he has the power to change you. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing that ever happened on an Easter? That somehow you took one step towards that direction, the possibility that he loves you and has the power to change you. Many people think that they're open-minded. It's funny how we are. We think they're open-minded, but they're not. And the reason I know they're not, because you can talk about God small g all you want, and you don't get that much of a reaction. But when you mention Jesus, they freeze up and say, Jesus? Jesus? Oh, what planet are you from? Jesus? And most people don't see any connection whatsoever between Jesus Christ and their personal life. Say, what in the world? This Jesus thing, how does that fit in? Because their mind is absolutely closed. I've had people say, don't you talk to me about that Jesus. Just, whoa, so angry. Just so angry. And I thought, Paul said that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And in Ephesians, that the eyes of our heart could be enlightened. That, and I would suggest this, that the reason you can't figure out Jesus is because your mind is closed. It was the same for me. I wasn't raised in a religious home. We didn't go to church. We didn't read the Bible. Matter of fact, the only time that I ever went to a church was after I'd given my heart to Jesus. And I went to church. But I wasn't raised in that. It wasn't what we did. It wasn't precious to us. We were quite secular that way. And kind of a serious drinking problem going on in our home as well. So I didn't get it. I knew there was such a thing as Easter because we were chasing around bunnies. I mean, I knew that that was something to do with Jesus and about Christmas and, you know, Christmas and Easter. And back in Saskatchewan, of course, everybody was kind of Christian in culturally, but not anyway necessarily personally. And so, boy, when I remember when someone invited me to a gospel meeting and they preached the gospel that Jesus wanted a relationship with me and that I had probably closed my mind to him, and the preacher basically said, until you open your mind, your mind to the possibility of Christ, there's not going to be any real lasting change in your life. And I could have agreed with that. But I opened my mind. I said, what if there is a God who made this world? And just what if? Maybe, right? What if, maybe? Maybe he had a son who was called the Son of God. Because if he did exist, and if he did send his son 2,000 years ago to transform our lives, folks, that's the most powerful thing it could ever happen. Somebody said to me, why don't we get rid of all these old religions? All these old religions cause wars and trouble and that. Let's get a new religion. I said, that's a good idea. Let's get a new religion. You get, okay, well, what do you do? I said, you get someone to rise from the dead and I'll follow them. Because you're not going to beat that. That Jesus can bring about last change in your life. So here's the thing. If I was closed, and if you were closed, and if anyone else here this morning, you say, I'm kind of closed to that subject. We don't talk about Jesus. If that be true, what causes us to close our minds? And I'd like to suggest a couple things. Number one, the thing that will close your mind the most to Jesus is that you've been hurt by a church or by another Christian. You get hurt by other people, and you close your mind to God. You closed your mind after that accident with your uncle. You closed your mind after the death of a loved one. You closed your mind after that deep pain hit you. You closed your mind to the disappointment, because you said, if there's such a God, I don't want to know a God like that. And so, hurt, how many know I'm speaking the truth here? Hurt can close you to good things. You've been hurt by somebody that was supposed to be a Christian, and they ripped you off. Boy, I'll tell you, folks, I'm just with you on that. That's hard to get over. It's hard to get over when you love somebody and they leave you, or a divorce, or a death. And that deep hurt says, I don't want anything to do with God or Jesus. I can't risk being hurt again. I'm not going to open my life to him, because I'm just going to get hurt. That's a powerful stimulus. There's another one, pride. Well, what do we know about that? Lots. You see, pride says, I don't want to be open to God. I want to run my own life. I want to do my own thing. I'm going to make my choices in life, and I don't need Jesus and I don't need God, that's for sure. That's for sure I don't need that. And so our pride and our rebellion causes us to close our minds to the Lord and to his salvation plan. Pride. But there's a third one. And I've dealt with people all of my life, all of my adult life, I've worked with people. And I know this one is a huge one, fear. Not just hurt, not just pride, but fear. If I open my mind to Jesus, he will turn me into some religious kind of a nut, kind of a quack, kind of an oddity, like that uncle was. And I'll probably become like one of those preachers on television that wear polyester and have big hair, and they say, Jesus, Jesus will save you. And I just don't want to become like that. So no thank you, no thank you. That's what it's going to be, especially the big hair, the evangelist hair, I call it. See, I want to be normal. I want to have friends when this is all over. I won't have any fun. That if I'm going to become one of those religious guys that carries around a Bible and goes to church 7 days a week and offends most people they talk to. And I do, I've seen it. I don't want to be like that, so no, thank you. That, see, fear is keeping you away. Yes, it is keeping me away. Thank you very much. Fear. Wow. See, fear can cause you to close your mind to God. But there's one more thing, and that's sin. Sin. Sin can cause us to close our mind to God. We can do things and get involved in things that take us far from God. Sin separates you from God. Sin separates me from God. The Bible says that. That sin separates us from God. And you know what's even worse about that? The deeper you go into sin, the harder you become. You become very, very hard. Hard against people. You build walls around yourself so that nobody can hurt you. Nobody can get close to you. And the more of sin in your life, the harder it makes you. A sinful lifestyle can cause you to close your mind to the God of the Bible. And it happens all the time. But here's the good news. Jesus is alive. That's where, hey, by the way, if you're new here, we're betting on this. We're betting the whole farm on this. If we're wrong, we might as well all go golfing right now. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll get that far. Might as well go to the Black Bear. That'd be a bit closer. Because if this isn't true, either Jesus rose from the dead or he didn't, right? It's either happened or it didn't happen. We're betting that it happened. Why? Because of the power that whenever we open our minds to him, that we've seen his mighty, mighty, mighty power to change our hearts and our lives. That's the difference. See, Jesus is alive. He's not dead. All authority is his. Ephesians talks about that. His great power to us who believe. That he can raise. Oh, by the way, not only can he change my heart and your heart, but he can raise a marriage from the dead too. He can change a marriage. He can change a family. How many people we've known, the family was in great dysfunction and lots of struggles, and one by one, the family members came to invite Jesus into their heart. And that marriage was transformed. The kids were transformed. Lives were transformed because of the power of Jesus. But there is another way to have your life changed. So that's the first one, to open your mind to the possibility that Jesus exists and he loves you and has the power to change you. Secondly, open your heart to God's grace. I love that clip, by the way. For some reason, I was fighting back tears by watching that little drama. See, first, your mind to God's power, and secondly, your heart to God's grace. Grace is when God gives you what you need instead of what you deserve. That's grace. Grace is when God forgives you even before you ask. That's grace. Grace is when God says, come on home. I'm not mad at you. My son died for you. That's grace. Grace is when God forgives you and gives you a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance to start over. A fresh start. That's grace. Grace is the power God gives to bring about the changes in your life that you can't do on your own. Those things say, that would be impossible. And God says, by my grace, that will be possible. That's grace. Because you're powerless and helpless to change your life. I want to tell you this. If it would have been up to me to change my life, it would never, ever, ever, ever would have happened. I know that. I know I would have been behind the door when good things were given out. But by the grace and love of Jesus, it came into my life. I'm so grateful for that. For by grace we've been saved by faith, the Bible says. Not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. To open our hearts to the grace of Jesus. You see, literally every single thing in your life is because God is good and gives you what you need and not what you deserve. That's the grace of God. And God loves us. And He's provided salvation for us through His Son. God did it all. That's grace. It's not about what you do for God. It's what God has done for you in Jesus and who you are because of that. And can I say it again and again and again? This is not about religion. It's about a person. It's about a passion for a person. That lovely Lord Jesus. And so, Jesus says, I want to erase all your guilt, past, present, and future. You will never earn God's grace. You'll never be good enough for God's grace. Not a matter of trying harder. We'll never be good enough for that. Grace is simply a gift of His love, a gift of His forgiveness. And all we have to do is declare ourselves as undeserving and unworthy. And we humbly accept His grace. And so you can pray, and I can pray a simple prayer. Yes, God, I want to open my mind to God's power, and I want to open my heart to God's grace. And if I do that, I know. And if you do that, you'll never be the same because of that. But there's a third thing. So we open our mind that He exists. We open our heart to Him or His grace. But there's a third thing, and I close with this. That we open our life to God's love. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about how great is the love of God. That no one will ever love you more than Jesus does. No one. God loves you unconditionally. It's not based on anything you do. He loves you because He made you. He created you to love Him. Did you know that? Jesus created you so that you would love Him. And to know Him. To love Him back. Jesus Christ proves how much God loves you by coming and dying on the cross. And I would say this morning. Just open your heart. Just be open in your mind. If you've never experienced God's love, my prayer would be for you this morning that you would. I'm not asking you. I'm not selling anything at your door. But if you were to say, God, I've never felt your love, but I'd like to. Because if you've never felt it, then you've never been changed by it. What we're saying is that God wants to have an emotional relationship with you. I mean, it's real. It's heartfelt. It's not some faraway God you're saying, Jesus, but the one who comes close and says, I want you to experience my love. I want you to feel what it is right in the very core of your being to be loved by me. You see, it's only when you feel the love of God that it starts changing you. You see, this is not just something about your head. It's something about your heart. When the love of God touches you, you will never, ever, ever be the same. No matter what sin experience you had, whatever you had, it's a great sinful experience, it's great, great moments. Once you have a God experience, it will transform you. That's the power of it. That's the power of it. It will transform you from the inside out. Today could be the first day of your walk with Jesus, and it's powerful. Easter is really about personal, intimate, internal change in your life by Christ's resurrection power. And I wrote this last closing thing. It's important that you realize that Jesus' arms are wide open to you, that He's drawing you to Himself. The Holy Spirit draws us. We must open our minds to His power, so that we can have change in our thinking. And we must open our hearts to His grace and our lives to His love. And we simply confess, God, I'd like a fresh start in my life. Would you stand with me? The band will be kicking in here in about 2 seconds. And we want you to feel to dance and jump and And whatever you feel like doing, that's fine. But I'd like to lead in a prayer. And if you'd like to make that prayer your own prayer, that'd be great. Maybe this would be the first time you ever just took a step towards God. But you've opened your heart, you've opened your mind, and you'd like to experience His love. So why don't you just pray this from your head, pray this from your heart, just any way you want to pray it. But maybe better if we just bowed our heads together, and then if you just want to make this your prayer, you just make this your prayer. But I'll give the prayer, but you can make it your own. And it goes like this. Just say in your mind, "Dear God, I'd like a fresh start in my life. I don't want to stay the same. Lord, I know there are things in my life that I know need changing. As much as I know how, I want to open up my life to you, Lord, to your power, and my heart to your grace. Thank you so much for loving me and for forgiving me. I don't understand it all, but I thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. And I invite Jesus to be the manager of my life, the CEO. I ask him to be the manager of my life today, and for him to change me from within. Not external change, but internal change. I want to learn to trust you, Jesus, and to live for you. Thank you for accepting me into your family. Thank you for taking my place on the cross and then rising from the dead to prove that you are alive. Lord, please draw near to me that I could experience the wonderful love of Jesus. I lay aside my fears, my hurts, my sins, that I will experience you firsthand, to be living and alive and real. In Jesus' name, amen.